So the federal government is spending at borrowing and borrowing at record levels. We hear that headline every day, while the states and localities are facing record layoffs, service cuts, and deficits. The story is different from state to state, and we've actually heard from various states in the course of reporting this story. But essentially, the national picture boils down to this. Because the feds won't make tough choices on fiscal matters and federal programs, haven't really for more than a generation, governors and mayors across the country in this economic environment have to do it. Newark Mayor Cory Booker had to lay off 167 cops, 12% of his police force.
There's a lot of pain. There's not a mayor that I bump into that doesn't have stories of real crisis about trying to figure out ways to balance their budget because revenues have fallen off dramatically. State aid has fallen off dramatically across the board. And you just have to make difficult choices. And that's going to put us in a bind.
It's a challenge to the entire notion of federalism. And here to discuss it is Bob Henley, WNYC's Bob Henley, who covers municipal finance and writes a weekly blog called Stuck Nation right here in New York. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning.
And Amity Schles joins us, a senior fellow for economic history at the Council on Foreign Relations and author of The Forgotten Man, A New History of the Great Depression. Good morning, Amity. Good morning, Amity.
Good morning.
All right, great. Great to hear your voice. So, Bob, you know, the pain that Cory Booker is talking about, it's a tough decision. Could you say the same thing about Governor Christie's decision to cancel a transportation project? He's making a decision the feds basically won't make.
Well, here's the problem, though. They have been borrowing themselves profligately. I mean, if you look at the $2.5 trillion in public debt at the state and local level, local governments, municipal governments, are responsible for $1.5 trillion of it. So it is truly, you know, mom and apple pie and bonded indebtedness at the local level. They've not been making good decisions either, John.
Amity Schles, is part of the impetus for that borrowing on the local level the mandates and promises that the federal government makes that the states and localities are supposed to deliver on?
Well, yes, of course, there's a copycat effect. When the federal when the leader does it, the states do it. But there's also, you know, features in our culture and law that don't come directly from the federal government. We created municipal bonds and gave them this special status long ago, back in the 1890s. And therefore, municipal bonds are attractive for people to buy. You get a tax break, and that fuels state and local governments. Another feature is that we signed a law long after the New Deal. We signed John F. Kennedy signed an executive order that said public sector bargaining is okay. So that was Washington, but not New Deal. And then the states copied that. We have the Taylor Law in New York that gives unions quite a bit of power in terms of compensation. So you have a number of factors coming together here.
Well, let's talk about some of these. I guess conservatives would call them unfunded mandates. Maybe progressives would call it more federal promises that states and localities can't keep. I guess Medicaid is one of the big ones, right, Amity?
Well, Medicaid is not created by the states.
Right, but don't the states have to fund people who come in on Medicaid?
Absolutely. Right. Unlike Medicare, there is this large state component. So when there's a federal squeeze, there's a squeeze upon the states, and the states are not entirely in control of that. So that's one feature. Yes, that would be great society culture if we're looking at history. So that's the 60s. I mean, I think that's the specific one you're thinking of, right?
Well, there's No Child Left Behind, which costs the state something. I mean, that falls in this category, right?
Absolutely. Okay, so there's No Child Left Behind. So the federal government overall often sends a signal you have to spend more, but doesn't give the states the money for that.
Bob Henley?
Yeah, I think that we can't keep our eyes off of the $500 trillion, let's just be straightforward, about a category called public debt for private purposes. I spent the weekend looking at that one in the census, and what's amazing is governments at the local level and state level have created these special districts. It's almost like multiplication of governmental authority. In the 50s, there was like 15,000 of them. There's like some 36, 37,000 of them
these
now.
These are economic districts,
these
economic
are
development
economic
districts.
Development authorities. We need to put a shopping mall up. It's a private-public partnership. Let's put up an incinerator. We don't know how it works, but let's put one up anyway. And
often, you're being so cynical, but incinerators are good sometimes.
But look at poor Harrisburg, the proud capital city of Pennsylvania, now busted and on the verge of bankruptcy because they didn't understand the technology and have $288 million to show for it and a machine that doesn't work.
So, Amity, where does the blame fall here? At the initiatives at the local level?
The blame falls also on our Supreme Court. which endorses these broad interpretations of eminent domain, dating back not only to this famous case Kelo that we had recently, where the drug company Pfizer wanted to do something maybe somewhere, and a lady had to move in Connecticut, but many before that. There's one called Berman, which has to do with blighted neighborhoods. A department store in the 1950s thought it was doing okay and didn't want to be moved, but the local government, Washington, D.C., wanted to move it. And the federal, our Supreme Court said, yep, that's okay. So the whole broad mandate comes from Washington Supreme Court.
And in times of booms, a lot of this stuff can work, but the math doesn't work out when suddenly you're in a recession. Last week, the jobs number, Bob Henley, told us that the public sector layoffs are accelerating. Could we be looking at a public sector-induced double dip in the recession because of this difficult math?
It's plausible. I mean, but on the other hand, you can make an argument that government at the local and state and county level is too large. I know that that's blasphemy, but consider Illinois, poor sad Illinois.
It's not blasphemy.
It has
a lot of
over 3,000 of these independent authorities and utilities. California, 2,800. And these aren't municipalities. These are separate entities that once they're created and spawned by the elected leaders, there's no accountability.
All right. That's Bob Henley, WNYC senior reporter. Amity Schlaes, can you see the removal of FAT or essential services or not? The result of or the consequence being layoffs that could further the recession?
There will be layoffs. It will be painful, but it may also be a step towards recovery. The states can lead the federal government in this. Everyone in the country is looking at Chris Christie and seeing what he's doing in New Jersey because maybe he's a model for president, not the other way around.
Indeed. So the political leadership of hard decision making at the local level may just be a campaign issue for 2012. That's a great takeaway. Amity Schlaes, senior fellow for economic history at the Council on Foreign Relations, author of The Forgotten Man, A New History of the Great Depression. Amity, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And also Bob Henley, WNYC senior reporter, talking about everything, all those districts out there driving him
Please
crazy.
Please send me notice on them. We want to hunt them down, John.
he's got you in their gun sights. Bob Henley, thanks so much.
We've been talking about another kind of fiscal responsibility, which is what do you do? Listener's question, what do you do when your kids ask for something you can't buy for them?
My mom was a single mom. She did her best with holidays, and she always told us that, sure, Santa did his best, but parents still had to finance the things that Santa bought to you. And so sometimes there were limits.
Well, there are always some kind of limits on what you can get for your kids and what you can't put under the tree. But we want your advice on what happens when your kids are dreaming big for Christmas and the budget is not quite that large. Give us your advice at 877-8-MY-TAKE. You can also check out more of this conversation at our website, thetakeaway.org.
Maybe it's that Christmas shouldn't be about money, you know? Maybe that's the solution there.
You still can't provide them with the unicorn. I'm Celeste Headlee.
I'm John Hockenberry. Looking for the unicorn. This is The Takeaway.